Thank you for the introduction. So let's just start right away. The outline of the talk. I'm going to make a short introduction, giving a problem statement, and then I'm going to shortly introduce the speech distortion weighted multi-channel Wiener filter, and then I'm going to introduce also very shortly the conditional speech present probability, which is the basis for the two solutions that we're going to propose. And finally, I'm going to conclude the work. So just to give a short perspective on the hearing loss problem, so some common causes of hearing loss, for instance, can be age-related or exposure to noise, and or if you have listening to loud music for a long time of period. So these are kind of effects that can affect all of us. But more importantly, the consequence, if you have a hearing loss, of course, is you have a reduced frequency resolution, temporal resolution, so you have difficulty distinguishing between different sounds and different frequencies. You also have problems with localizing sounds. And this problem, of course, becomes more important when a hearing aid user is in a noisy environment, possibly with multiple speakers or any kind of noise. And also, another problem can be reverberation. So for this reason, there in the past have been many multi-microphone noise reduction proposed, for instance, directional microphones, various of beam formers. However, in this work, we're going to focus on the multi-channel Wiener filter. So the idea for all approaches is to find a set of filter coefficients such that you can reduce the noise and minimize the speech distortion. And the overall goal, of course, is to improve the intelligibility. So if we just start by defining the microphone signals, so you have a speech signal and additive noise contribution, where K is the frequency index and L is the frame index. In this case, we will work on a two microphone setup. So the MWF, MMSE criterion can be formulated like this. So we want to find a set of filter coefficient that minimizes the difference between the desired speech component and the filtered version of the noisy signals. So basically, we choose to estimate the speech component in the first microphone. So that would be the front microphone of the hearing aid. So an extension of this is if we assume that the speech and noise are statistically independent, we can formulate the MMC criterion this way. So the first term corresponds to a speech distortion term, and the second term corresponds to the residual noise. And then the formulation can be derived like this. So basically, you have the estimated speech correlation matrix and the estimated noise-only correlation matrix weighted by a certain factor, which corresponds to over-subtraction factor. So at this point, we can see that the MWF basically is based on the correlation matrices. So we'll shortly go into details and the problems involved in estimating these contributions. So in general, to estimate the basic is to estimate the noise-only correlation matrix and the speech plus noise correlation matrix, such that the clean speech, so you basically get a clean speech correlation matrix. And you can do that by, for instance, using a voice activity detector to estimate the clean speech correlation matrix during a speech plus noise period, and noise only during noise only periods, and then you will make this subtraction here. So basically, in an MWF, each contribution is kept fixed during different periods. So of course, for instance, if you have a speech plus noise period, the update of the noise only correlation matrix will be kept fixed, and the speech plus noise correlation matrix will be updated. So of course, that will also set a limitation of the tracking of the noise correlation matrix, because imagine if the noise prior to the speech period is higher than the speech plus noise period, and if we stop adapting the noise correlation matrix, we basically have a relatively poor noise reduction capability. Furthermore, the estimation of the correlation matrices is typically done with a high averaging factor, typically in the area of 2 to 3 seconds. So somehow this also limits the tracking capability spectrally. So if you look at the motivation for the work that we started, since the SDWMWF depends on a long-term average, basically the noise reduction eliminates short-time effects such as musical noise and other artifacts that is present in single-channel noise reduction. Another issue that we're going to deal with here is this weighting factor here, which in general is used as a fixed weighting factor for all frequency and for all frames. And this is where we kind of say, well, the motivation for our work is to find an optimal weighting factor, because in general you can say that the speech and the noise will be non-stationary, and in general you can also say that while we are speaking we will have a lot of silence periods in between that we can exploit in the noise reduction process, while the noise in general could be continuously present. So what we propose is that we want to apply a different weight to the speech dominant segments and to the noise dominant segments. To do that, we took inspiration from a single channel noise reduction approach where a lot of work had been done on spectral tracking. So basically we took the inspiration from a term called the speech present probability. Basically, they start by defining a two-state model. So you have one state where you have noise only, and then you have one state where you have speech plus noise, whereas the standard approach basically assumes that you have noise given at all time. So by exploiting a two-state model, we will see if we can improve the noise reduction. So basically, just to very shortly introduce the speech present probability, it's estimated for each frequency for each frame. It is based on an estimate of the probability of speech being absent, and then you have various contribution of different signal-to-noise ratio measures. So an example can be shown here, where you can see here that at certain lower frequency area, you have a high probability of speech, and then at a certain point, you have a lower probability. So the question was, how can we exploit this in the multi-channel Wiener filter? So we start by kind of modifying the objective function. So here we first have a first term, which is the H1 state, weighted by the P. And we have a second term, which is the H0 state, weighted by the 1 minus P. So basically, we will take into account that we also have a period where there are noise only. So we can be more aggressive in these states in terms of noise reduction. When we derive it, of course, you will end up with a term 1 over P, which basically is now changed for each frequency and for each frame compared to the fixed weighting factor before. So basically, if you have a high probability of speech, you go back to kind of like preserving the speech, and if you have a low probability, you kind of do more aggressive noise reduction. The problem here, however, is that, as you saw before, the speech present probability kind of varies a lot for each frequency, of course. When we applied it in this setup, we had a lot of distortion, a lot of artifacts, basically some artifacts that was related to single-channel noise reduction. Another fact is that this filter here doesn't really distinguish between the H0 and the H1 state. So we went a little bit further, and we kind of like said, what happens if we could actually detect the H0 and H1 state? So we proposed a simple method to do this. We already have the information per frequency. So we kind of just said, okay, we look at for each frame, and we took the average. And if the average is higher than a certain threshold, we will select it as a H1 state, and otherwise a H0. And here's an example of this is a clean speech signal, but of course it was estimated on a noisy signal. And here you can see that there are certain values here we would be detected as H1 states and other as H0 state. So the rationale behind having this information is that in the H0 state, the noise reduction performed there can be weighted differently because there's no speech present, so we can be much more aggressive without compromising or increasing the speech distortion. In the H1 state, of course, we also want to reduce some noise, but we want to do it a little bit more carefully. So this is the idea where we want to apply a certain flexible weighting. So to do that, we did a similar way. What you can see here is that if we have detected a H1 state, we apply a much more higher threshold, a weighting factor, And if it's H1 state, at some point, we will still apply a lower but fixed weighting factor. And then when the probability gets higher, we kind of weight it accordingly. In that way, we can kind of preserve certain speech cues. So to build that into the standard MWF, so basically we have a combination of soft values and a binary detection. So the first one is a function of H1 state, which is a function of a certain fixed threshold and the speech present probability. And the second term is basically kind of using a fixed weighting factor. When we derive this, of course, it all appears here. This is the weighting factor. So by exploiting both the soft value and the hard values. And then we did some simulation as well. We used a 2-microphone hearing aid behind the ear in a monaural setup. And we have a relatively low liberation time, 2 multiple noise sources. And we use 2 objective quality measures, which is the intelligibility weighted SNR and the signal distortion. So if we look at the results, you can see that the standard method gives a much lower signal to noise ratio. But when you increase the weighting factor, at the same time, the distortion also increases. When we use the one that we initially used with the 1/P term, the problem was the high fluctuation. So you will still get like quite a good SNR performance, but the distortion simply went very high. But with the flexible threshold, we used a different weighting factor. Here we can see that the distortion, signal to noise rate improvement went relatively high, and the distortion was also kept low. Of course, the question is like, how will you choose this weighting factor? And that's, of course, still something that we are working on. So just to summarize, we presented a different extension of the SDW-MWF algorithms. We started to look at it with a fixed weighting factor, and then we incorporated the speech present probability. And then at the end, we ended up with a combined soft and a binary detection. So in future work, we are aiming at performing some perceptual evaluation using hearing impaired listeners. And we are further working on finding a more perceptually motivated weighting factor. For instance, we could exploit certain masking properties or even incorporating some hearing models in the weighting process itself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So are there questions, comments? Yes, please, there in the back.
Okay, thank you for presentation. So my question is that is this applicable for speed? Is it possible to apply or modify Monticello window filtering for speed reduction? For instance, you have desired speed and you have interference speed. So at the time noise here in your presentation can be considered as undesired speed sources. So yeah, in that case, is it still applicable? And how did you choose the weighting factor? I suppose it should be around 1 or something. Can you give some idea?
Can you repeat the question again?
Okay, sorry.
I didn't hear it.
Yes, okay. Now you apply the multi-channel window filtering for noise reduction.
Yeah.
So my question is that is it still applicable for speed reduction? For example, you have a desired speed and you have interference speed.
You mean like a multiple speaker scenario?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it will still be I think you can still apply it in a multi-speaker scenario, but of course it's going to be more difficult estimating this conditional speech present probability because now the spectrum is going to be much more similar to the desired speech signal. So of course mm-hmm. you will have to be much more careful when estimating the weighting factors. But I think still that you can still apply it in a multi-speaker scenario, but maybe the results will be a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
More questions, comments? Yes, please.
My question is related to his question. I think mm-hmm. is when you apply your algorithm to this, do you have constraint on this or any assumption on the noise type? Because if the noise is an impulsive noise or other type of noise, like, you know, as he said, if the noise is a speech or impulsive noise or other kind of noise, I mean, can this algorithm still deal with this situation?
Yeah, well, at this point, we don't make any assumption of the noise, actually. It can work on... I would say that probably the most difficult scenario will be the multi-speaker scenario, but in terms of noise types, I think you can apply it to any kind of noise type. There's no assumption that we make that it has to be a certain type of noise.
Maybe you should.
So you mean that this algorithm can be used for any type of noise, mm-hmm. or even the noise is another speech interference speech?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I think that in terms of choosing all these values for thresholds, of course, if you have like multiple speaker scenarios, because everything depends on how well you can estimate all these spectral components, like the speech person probability, and how well you make the binary decision. So of course, if you have a multiple target scenario, you might have a large error on your estimation. And then of course, if you choose, then probably you want to choose a different value, because if you have a large error, then you will be subject to maybe a higher speech distortion once you apply it. In this case, if you have, like, let's say, rather easy scenario, like maybe like a car noise scenario, where you have like more stationary noise, then your estimation of the speech present probability probably be much higher accuracy. Then of course you can also apply much more aggressive threshold on it. But if you have a multiple target scenario, you probably have to be much more careful.
You can use the microphone there, up there. Oh.
I mean, I just want to ask, have you tested this type of scenario, or you have got any result?
You mean on multiple speaker scenario? No, we didn't test the multiple speaker scenario. But what we did test, for instance, was much higher room reverberation. And there we saw that the estimation needed to be tuned a little bit, and some of the values needed to be carefully chosen not to increase the distortion. In that case, the estimation of the spectral components was much more inaccurate, so mm-hmm. we kind of had to choose different values. So of course, it all depends on how accurate you can estimate these components. Mm-hmm. And in terms of here, just as a proof of concept, we had like a low reverberation scenario mm-hmm. and just had a multi-target babble noise.
More questions? If you use these things, this algorithm in hearing aids, then it's of course also for music and not only for speech, right? How does it perform there? Because you use a different state depending on the frequency, right? And depending on the frame. Right, so if there's an attack, for example, then people won't hear the attack of the music, maybe.
Yeah, I don't exactly know how it will work in the music scenario, because this is more like a noise reduction process. So I guess in music, I don't know if you just have any desire to remove certain...
Well, then components. You should switch it off, maybe, if they detect music.
Yeah, probably you want to switch it off then. But we only work with the speech signals.
Yeah, but if you have it in hearing aids, of course, it's applicable to anything.
Yeah, of course. I mean, but of course, in that terms, there are plenty of research doing more like where they kind of like switch between different settings and so on if you have music. So mm-hmm. I think in this case, it will not work very well if you have a music mm-hmm. signal.
But even if you have it for speech, then, for example, the start of the speech might not be detected well, right? Because it's considered as noise.
Yeah, it's true. But for one example you can see is that sometimes, like if you have like a high frequency component, like mm-hmm. an S or something,
yeah.
These frequency will be covered by the noise. Mm-hmm. And if the speech present probability, for instance, indicates a very low probability of speech, mm-hmm. and you allow it to be very aggressive in these areas, sometimes you really miss the S on yeah. On the term. So mm-hmm. if one of our sentences, for instance, was like, it was saying like shoes, mm-hmm. and sometimes you will not be able to hear the S actually mm-hmm. if you allow your noise reduction to be very aggressive on those frequencies. So, yeah.
Okay, can it be improved, the technique, somehow here in this?
Well, basically, what we're working now is we know that we can be pretty aggressive, but it will come at a cost. So, right now, we are trying to kind of constrain this grading factor mm-hmm. by some mm-hmm. psychoacoustical properties. Mm-hmm. So, we exactly know when and how much to apply. So basically, if we know that certain frequency is high probability of speech, then it will probably mask all the noise at other frequencies, and then we may not have to remove that much noise at the coming in the following frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay, more comments, questions? Okay, thank you very much again.